Welcome to the Cult Film Showdown's special podcast, special series, special The Hitchhiker. I am James Cotta. Leading up this foray, I'm joined by Nick Boxer.
Those are some small breasts. Spoiler alert.
And Jack Hall.
It's more of a, what do you call it, a foray? It's more of a three-way.
Foray?
Isn't it?
Oh, it's, I mean, oh yeah, you're right, yeah.
It's three-way. Yeah, there's only three of us. Yeah. Yeah. You can call me Jack Hall, by the way. I'm Jack Hall. This episode I picked. And I'm sorry, guys. I apologize now.
I'm going to jump in quickly because just to set this up, we are doing a look at the 1980s TV show, The Hitchhiker, which ran on HBO, and it was a mature audience's show, anthology. And the episode we're doing this time is Murderous Feelings, which is season 2, episode 10. Jack, you go for it.
Yeah, just, I'm sorry to pick Murderous Feelings. I'm sorry. But I do that to you guys. I know it's got a fairly high rating of 6.3 on IMDb, which is less than the whole series. Series as a whole is 6.8. Man, I picked it mainly because it has Franco Nero as the star. And if you don't know who Franco Nero is, then why the hell are you listening to the Cult Film Showdown?
Very true.
I mean, the guy's legendary Italian B-movie actor, favorite of like people like, you know, Quentin Tarantino and such, and just legendary career. I think 231 film credits to his name.
Wow.
Absolute legend, but this isn't his best work. It's directed by Maja Zerling. I know she's a Swedish director who didn't do a whole lot of stuff. So she did direct 3 episodes of The Hitchhiker. I hope this is the only one we get. This episode is very, it's a very surrealistic, dream-like episode. And the first one is dreamlike as well that we watched. This one is especially has a dreamlike quality to it, but it's just so slow. It's bloody slow.
It's filmed in a giallo style.
It is, despite
that
the
fact that incorporates dream logic, which does not, make it easily understandable, especially in a half-hour format.
Exactly, and the fact that it's a Swedish director who did it, and she chose this style, she did a Franco Nero. I don't think any of the other casts were Italian of note, but it just definitely has that giallo dreamlike style, absolutely. And what actually happens in the episode there, Nick?
I defy anyone to tell you what time period this takes place in. But Franco Nero plays a psychologist treating a young woman who he's also sleeping with. But over time, a reporter sort of figures out that he may be sleeping with his patients, maybe. So he decides to kill the patient, I think, by haunting her dreams of her father, who may or may not rape her. It's really hard to tell what's going on because I think there's portions of the girl's dreams that are filmed out of sequence or shown out of sequence to the narrative. But in the end, it's not the girl who dies, it's him because she has a visceral reaction. And I don't know why the psychiatrist was traveling on trains with her.
there's a lot of why is this thing happening?
I thought it was actually shot. Like, I did enjoy the cinematography, despite the copy we have is fairly low quality. I think in HD it would look phenomenal. Wouldn't make any more sense.
I mean, the good news is the Franco Nero seems as confused by what's going on as we are. he's the antagonist and seems to have no control over the situation. I want to get into what you mentioned there, Nick, about what is he actually doing? Because she's been having these dreams, but it's set up like she's been having these since her father died, and that's why she's seeing them. But at some point, he's like, he's creating a dreamlike state for her, which is never mentioned how he does that. And even when she's clearly awake, she still thinks that part of it was a dream. Like, he was there, and then the door knock, and then someone knocks on the door. She's like, "Oh, someone's at the door. Thank God this dream is over with no change in me." She might be dumb as a rock. There is that, like, always. That
and, you know, I mean, yes, as a psychiatrist, he shouldn't be sleeping with his patient, but it is like she just all of a sudden takes off her clothes in front of him. I mean, it starts undressing him, and he doesn't really, like, move. Yeah, he didn't really come on to her. She kind of, you know.
I mean, I got the sense that this has been going on a bit. Like, this isn't the first. Like, this is just what they do. She pays him, a couple hundred dollars an hour and, you know, gets to feel safe. And he gets, what he gets out of it. All of his, like, what he's doing and his motivations are, like, they're so nebulous. And even at the end, when he tells her to get on this train, no explanation of why the train is there, other than she had a dream that took place on a train. And if he created that dream, I don't know how they got on the train before. it's all very confusing. She finally has this breakthrough. She's like, you know, my father raped me, and that's why I'm having all these confusing feelings now that he has passed away. And you're right, like, it's not clear whether she's actually remembered something, or, like, that's what she thinks she remembers.
It's being implanted.
Yeah. But there is a moment of, like, well, if he did this so that she would remember it, you know, he's got ethical problems, but he's very good at his job as a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like exposure therapy.
I think it would have been more effective if the imposing threat was a little bit more.
Oh my God.
Because I think he could have got away with all his crimes by going, "Don't listen to her. She's crazy."
Yeah. This is just transference. And now everyone around him would have gone, yeah, I get that. Yeah, I've had that.
Because, I mean, he got one phone call that sort of said, you know, you should be careful here.
So I want to set this part up. So she's having her many mental health challenges, and she shows up at a conference he's speaking at, and we find out there that he is up for the presidency of the psychiatric association of that region, and there's a dirt digging reporter for some publication who is willing to dedicate days and days of her time to find dirt on this guy, because the president, there's so much riding on the presidency of a psychiatric association of his region. I'm like, the stakes of this story could not be lower. it's not even like of America. Like she, it's clear it's like of like the Northwest.
Yeah, and the time and place I found very just really confusing, because I was sure this was like early psychiatry practices and stuff, because all the buildings are old and in that Art Deco style. But then a digital phone pops up out of nowhere, like a push button phone. So it was very confusing. I don't think I've been that confused in a half hour show. As what was supposed to be happening here.
I understand it a lot better now that I've listened to you two than I did after watching it. You've broken it down a lot for me. Oh, okay. So he's implanting. So, I get it. Yeah, I just pretty much went, she's naked. Well, that's a positive. I'm bored, and it's over.
I want to be clear. I could not figure out at what point he started faking the stuff. It's clear, but halfway.
Like the shadow? Why did he look like the shadow?
Well, and that's like, if we assume that her dream about the train was a real dream, and that's why she's seeing him, then he had shown up at her house in that outfit that she would have described to him. But there's a bit where she thinks she's in a dream and she stabs the hell out of him, and like no explanation of how he got stabbed 3 times in the head and totally fine. Just none.
There's a lot of why questions too. Like, why didn't he just kill her?
Or, well, yeah, I mean, as we
was
said,
he trying to do suicide on the train?
Yeah, like I couldn't figure it. Yeah, I don't know what the end game was, because when he finally talks to her at the end, at like the back of the train, like there is a like, is he intending to push her, or is he, or was this a whole like I'm gonna cure her this way thing? She, you know, sorts things out for us by pushing him off the train. But it is it's very odd what his actual goal was there,
and his outfit.
his outfit, I'm assuming that the outfit was from how she had described this, like her dream. I'm that's my reading is that there was a dream that he then duplicated. I think there should have been an extra element of like he gave her a new medication to make her suggestive or something, because otherwise she had a complete mental breakdown out of nowhere and stopped understanding what's real and what's not.
And I mentioned this episode was really slow.
It seems like a lot happened. I was just fascinated. Sonia Smits, who's a pretty well-known Canadian actress, is in this one. And I see she also did an episode of Little Sobo. That'll be this is another shot in Canada, shot in British Columbia series, like Masters of Horror. So we'll be back with our Canada spotting. But yeah, like just the
Sobo spotting.
She's my favorite. She's my favorite part of this of the whole show, because it's like she's trying to bring down like the president of the United States, the stakes that are played in this. And she's digging and digging. And yeah, I thought he was going to knock her off for a bit. Like, I thought that was where he was going to go. It was like, I got to kill her.
She'd need more screen time, because I mean, she's barely in a scene, which really accentuates the confusion, because she doesn't seem like a threat.
Not really.
I think we can say, personally, I think we can say 2 episodes of The Hitchhiker in, 1 pretty good, 1 miss. And I'm curious as to where it goes from here.
All right. Well, that was The Hitchhiker: Murderous Feelings. We will be back with the next episode, which is WGOD. That'll be the next one we do. And we have a playlist on our YouTube channel. Go to the Kel Film Showdown YouTube channel and click playlists. We have all 10 of the episodes linked there. And you can, in the order we're going to do, talking about them, so you can watch along, you can watch ahead. And while you're there, subscribe, like every video you see, and save some to playlists, like whatever button you can click on, just do that. Tell us what you've been thinking of the shows as you go back through the massive archive. As well as YouTube, the Cult Film Showdown is on Instagram, and we have a Patreon where you can support our efforts. And we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon, the search for the ultimate B movie. And We Talk Podcast has a Facebook, and they have an X. And now I got to ask about like show names again. What would have been a good one for this one if we had done one? Franco Nero and the Almost Story.
The Hitcher, turn on your high beams.
Gaslighting by Franco Nero. All right, we'll talk to you next time. So the reason season one is listed as three episodes is that it was actually a movie.
Really?
Yeah. Says here on the Wikipedia that it was pilot episode consisted of three stories.
Okay. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because it's like a year before they come back, almost.
You know, that's a unique approach I think we all have. Research after the episode.
And then I just stitched it in the middle. No, I've never done that.